Okay, Mishnah of Zayin Amid Beis in Sanhedrin. And now the Mishnah discusses which relative or people are disqualified from being witnesses or judges. So we know that the Mishnah said before, relatives are not kosher witnesses. So it says, what are considered relatives? Achiv, his brother. Achi Aviv, his father's brother. Achi Imai, his mother's brother, meaning is, but that's not marriage. It's his father's brother and his mother's brother. Ubala Chayse, his sister's husband, meaning his brother-in-law. Bal Achayse Aviv, the uncle of his father's sister. No, you have to go to page 54.
What is a Chavzayin?
Chavzayin Amid Beis.
On top?
No, in the middle of the Mishnah. That means this is an uncle through marriage. Balachay Saviv, the husband of his father's sister. Ubalachay Simei. So in other words, whether it's an uncle through marriage or not, it's not kosher to be a witness. Brother-in-law is also not a kosher witness.
You talking about weddings here, Rabbi? Or anything? Like, you know, when you have a wedding.
Yeah, for any Adam. We're witnesses for a wedding, loan documents, death penalty, whatever. It doesn't matter. These are not kosher witnesses. Ubal Imei, his mother's husband, meaning a stepfather. V'chamiv, his father-in-law. V'gisei, and his brother-in-law. The brother-in-law over here is a little bit different than the other one. It's also his wife's sister, the wife's sister's husband. And as any, basically, they must just take the various scenarios. Any uncle is no good, any brother-in-law is no good, any step-parent is no good. All these things are not kosher witnesses. Even though, by the way, step-parents are not really related at all.
Yeah.
Because just your mother's husband, but it doesn't matter, it's all part related.
That's why
yeah.
It happened.
Yeah, we'll soon see later in the Gemara. Not only that, hey, they are disqualified, b'neihem, their sons, v'chasneihem, their sons-in-law. In other words, not only is an uncle not kosher, but an uncle's son or son-in-law is also not kosher. Or a brother-in-law's son, whatever, they're all not kosher. Second cousin will see our kosher. V'chorge levad, but only a stepson, but not a stepson's kids. In other words, a stepson cannot testify for a stepfather, but the stepson's kids could. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yasi says like this. Zu Mishnas Rabbi Kiva. This is the way Rabbi Kiva learned the halachas. Okay, these are the halachas Rabbi Kiva said. But Ava Mishnah Rishayna, but the earlier Mishnah. Now, the Gemara is going to explain what it means, earlier Mishnah, later Mishnah. But the earlier Mishnah said like this. Deidei Uven Deidei, an uncle, meaning his father's brother, his uncle's son, V'cholaroi L'yosh, whoever is able to inherit. And as according to the first opinion, what's considered a relative is one who's able to inherit you. Uh-huh. Somebody who's not able to inherit you, they're not kosher ladies. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. What happens if you were related and then you became unrelated?
Divorce.
Like a divorce. Your brother-in-law cannot testify, yeah? But if he divorces your sister, then he's not a relative anymore. So it says like this, V'chol ha'karev b'yisiv shah, or any, all those who are related at the time. Okay, now there's one of two things. There's when you see the testimony, and when you testify. Because these are two parts of witnesses. Two parts of Edim is seeing what happened, and testifying. Right, it could be, now it's possible that you saw something when you were a relative, but by the time you testify, you're not a relative anymore. So he says like this, V'chol ha'karev b'yisiv shah, any person that was related either at the time, the beginning, or the end. What happens, are you karev in Nisrachik? What happens if he was a relative, and then at the time of saying the testimony, he wasn't a relative anymore? Hareza kosher. He's kosher. But the Gemara is going to say, what happens if he was kosher, not kosher? No, I'm saying, not kosher, kosher, not kosher. So it's also no good.
What's the case of Mishnah here?
What?
It's that
an uncle, your an uncle, no, your father's sister's husband cannot testify.
Okay.
Correct? Now, what happens if he divorced from his wife? He's not your uncle anymore.
Mm-hmm. So he can.
So then he can. But here the Mishnah says, as long as he wasn't a relative at the beginning and at the end, he could testify. If he was a relative either at the... At the beginning and end. If he was a relative at beginning and end, then he cannot. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Afilu Meisa Bita, he says like this, you have a son-in-law. Yeah? So, but Pashtis, if his wife died, then he's not related to you anymore.
Mm.
Technically, because he's...
If they have the
keys... One second, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Afilu Meisa Bita, but Vyeshli Banim Imena. But they still kids? The grandkids? So the grandkids connect the son-in-law even though the mother died. That's what the Buddha holds. Instead, which obviously implies that the Chum argue. Now the Chum say, if you have a son-in-law, it shouldn't happen to anybody, you have a son-in-law, and his wife died, your daughter dies, so then he's a kosher relative. I mean, he's a kosher. He could be a kosher witness because he's not related anymore. But Rabbi Yehuda says, but if he has children, then he's still considered a relative. Okay, so basically the din of the Mishnah is, mentions all the relatives that are not kosher. If it's his brothers, you know, all that stuff, uncles, cousins, first cousins. All these brothers-in-law, sons-in-law, in-laws, they're all not kosher. But if they became not kosher, became a non-relative, then they could testify. But Rabbi Yehuda says if the son-in-law, you have children, then he can't.
Rabbeinu, what about adopted son?
It's not a relative. But we'll see later in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about something that doesn't look right.
Yeah, like my brother-in-law's wife's sister.
She can't testify anyway.
Why?
She's a woman.
Huh? My brother-in-law has his wife's brother.
That's not related to you?
Not related.
No? Okay. I mean, l'chatchil, it says in Halacha, you should keep away even very far, but l'moshul, mechutanim.
Right.
If my son marries somebody else's daughter, how about me and him? So we're not related. My son married his daughter, but we're not related. Mm-hmm. But the minig is not to, but Rabbi Aloch is a kosher witness. What?
He'll be biased.
No.
No, he doesn't.
That's against you, you mean. So like a mother-in-law. What?
There's
all gzeir sakosiv. There's all gzeir sakosiv. It's not logical in any way.
My daughter-in-law's father, is that considered a witness?
Huh?
My daughter-in-law's father.
I just told you. That's called mechutanim.
Done.
You some salpidin. It says in Shchunach it's kosher, but the minig is not to. The Gerer Rebbe once said, "Why is a brother not a kosher?" It's even the Kseres Hakosav. He said a logic: if he testifies for you, then obviously he's biased. It's your brother.
Yeah.
If a brother testifies against you,
he's
not a mensch. If he's not a mensch, he says you have to be a mensch. Anoshim has to be a mensch to testify. Okay. Then it says like this.
Scenario where he wasn't and became or was or is and didn't become. I think the main point is at the time of testimony, if he's kosher.
Both.
If when he saw he wasn't a relative, but today he's a relative.
So then it's all good. Mm-hmm. Correct.
But if back then he was a relative, and now he's not, and there's no children.
We'll see that in the Gemara about Kadav and Nisrachik. We'll see in the Gemara the more details of that then.
So the main point is not if at the time of testimony he's a relative or not. That should be the main thing.
Yeah, but Gemara, we're going to see in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about all the details of that.
I'm sorry.
What?
So, in case of witnesses, do they have to prove that they're relatives or not?
No, if you know they're relatives. What happens if you find out later they're relatives?
Right.
How do they disqualify a lot of the non-religious weddings today?
No.
Because who do they use for witnesses? Cousins, brothers, sisters, mothers-in-law, they use everybody. So that if you find out they're two brothers, not good. Okay, bye. Ha'eva seinik. Person who's a very close friend or also an enemy is also disqualified to judge. Well, what does it mean, good friends? Ha'ev zeshu shvinei. Ha'ev refers to groomsmen, that's an English meaning. You bring food to a wedding. You know, like the real close friends would bring food to the wedding. Called Sinai, who's called an enemy? That you didn't speak to him for 3 days out of hatred. Amalei, so the Sedechom said to him, the Jewish people are not suspected to testify because they hate the guy. They're not suspected to testify falsely because of they don't like the guy.
Shushvinim is a problem?
He can't judge, by the way, Rashi says. He can't judge, but as far as witnesses, here, the Gemara, according to this opinion, the Gemara, all these cases before, right, you can't. By the way, I just want to say one more important thing. In monetary laws, what happens if you do accept a brother-in-law in the Beis Din? Let's see, two brother-in-laws sit in the Beis Din. If both sides agree to them, you can test. They can judge.
Just brother-in-laws or any
other? Any relative, you accept them. Mm-hmm. If both parties, in monetary issues, not in monetary issues.
An arbitrator.
No, it's a din taita. I mean, it has a din of a din taita, but it's,
What about two brothers?
Also, I'm saying, if the both parties accept it, it's fine.
All right, shushvinin, everybody's...
No, it means, the Gemara's going to explain more exactly the concept of shushvinin. Shushvinin means... You are super close, like the brothers. But the Gemara said the Jews are not suspected to do that. Okay. Now, so the Mishnah said all these relatives are not kosher witnesses. So now the Gemara is going to say, where do we find that in the Torah? We know it's Gzeres HaKosov, because it's not logical, right? Why can't they testify at a wedding? Two brothers, why can't they testify? I mean, like, well, what? So obviously it's Gzeres HaKosov, but the Gemara said, Minani Mili. From where do we learn, Taka, that a relative is not a kosher witness? He cannot be a kosher witness. Sigmar says, Ton Rabbanon, it says, L'yum su avi salbanim. It says, fathers should not be put to death because of their sons, nor sons, you know, then the Torah says, Ish b'chata meisu. Each man dies for their own sin. You don't die because your parents sinned. So he says, Im l'lamid, sh'l'yum su avi s'bavein banim. If the pasuk is only coming to teach us that you don't die for your father's sins and you don't die for your son's sins, it says already each bechata yumasu, each man dies for their own sin. In other words, the Torah says like this: simply just translating the pasuk, a father doesn't die for his son's sins, a son doesn't die for the father's sins, right? So if that's what the pasuk simply means, I don't need that pasuk. Because there's another pasuk that says, "Ish becheta yumas." Each man dies for their own sins. So therefore, what does the pasuk mean? Elo, what it means is the way the Gemara learns: Lo yumsu avis al banim, that a father cannot die through a child's witness, through a child's testimony. You know, you can't say the pasuk means what it means simply because the pasuk already says that in another pasuk, right? So we must say the pasuk is teaching us something else. What does the pasuk teach us? The Gemara says, "Leyumsu aves albani" means through the children. Meaning, if a child testifies against the father, you can't kill the father because he's not a kosher witness. Or same thing, "Banim leyumsu al aves." What does it mean? Sons will not die in the father. It means be'edus of if it is testimony of the parents. Okay. So basically, we see from the Torah, the way the Gemara, there's an extra pasuk that teaches us parents cannot die through a child's testimony, and a child cannot die through a parent's testimony. So from there, you see that the relatives, at least father and son, are not kosher witnesses.
So this is the Gezerat HaKotuv that we go by, but this is the Makor of
it? One, we're not done yet.
I mean, how about a Ben Saramara? No, I'm saying, how do you know that this child is
First of all, Ben Sarah Meir is only for 6 months, and it's only from 12 and a half to 13, and he can't be a witness anyway, so it doesn't matter. Okay, so the Gemara says, You said a statement before that a son doesn't die for the parent's sin. But it's not true. It says, Pekit Avein Avis Albanim. In the Ten Commandments, it says Hashem remembers the sin of the parents and the children. So how can you say a son doesn't die for the parent's sin? So the Gemara says, no. Hasam Ksha'ech Zemaisi Avein Bidem. B'chal, there's a different Gemara. The Gemara is going to bring it down here also. In the Gemara, it says like this. Gemara asks a question. One pasuk says each man dies for their own sins. And another pasuk says God will remember the sins of the parents for the children. That means the children are affected by the parents. It says each person dies for their own sin. So the Gemara answers like this. When the son continues sinning like the father, then the father's sin is added to the child's. But if the father's a sinner and the child isn't, that's when the Torah says each man dies for their own sin. And the Gemara says this. Hasam, when is the sin of the father going on the child? That when the child continues the actions of the father. Because the time like we learned, it says, the pasuk says by the curses, the sins of the fathers who shall make the sons wither away. When does it mean? When the children follow in the evil footsteps of the father. Then it becomes a cumulative punishment on the son.
If it's blessed,
it the other way, right?
Yeah.
This is the Chas V'Shalom, the father was Mechal Shabbos, and the son does the, it's non-kosher. No. It's non-kosher.
No, it has to be the same type of a sin.
Oh, it has to be the
L'chered.
Same.
Okay. You say that it's only when they sin the same type of sins like the father. Maybe it's even if they don't follow in the evil footsteps of the parent that they also get punished. So he says no. Shahu aim ishbechatu yimas. But another pasuk says, like we just said, each man dies for their own sins. So it's a contradiction. So the answer is, by the way, I don't know if it means that particular sin. They're sinners and sinners. It goes
in general.
So the Gemara answers like this. The Gemara's conclusion from this whole Megillah that we just learned so far is like this. The Pasuk cannot mean that the fathers and the sons are punished for each other's sins because it says each man dies for their own sin. Therefore, what is the Pasuk teaching us? That you can't testify. Right, a parent cannot die through the son's testimony, and the son cannot die through the father's testimony. It says that sometimes they do die. So the Gemara says only when they continue in the evil footsteps of the parent. Okay, but the Gemara says, "V'loi, what do you mean? People don't die for somebody else's sins? Is that true?" It says, "V'kosh lo ish bi'achiv." It says each man will stumble over his brother. So the Gemara learns from that, what does it mean? Ish ba'vein ochiv. A man will stumble because of the sin of his brothers. I mean, he's punished because another Jew sins. So you see that you all don't only die for your own sins, you die for somebody else's. And the Gemara says, melamet shukulim arevim zebazeh. So you see from, the famous Gemara, every Jew is responsible for one another. What do we learn now from this pasuk, by the way? The koshel ish bi'ochiv. Each man will stumble over his brother. That doesn't mean if he's laying in the street that you stumble and fall over him. It means that you're punished because of somebody else's sin. Why? It teaches us kulam arevim zeh bazeh, that every person is responsible one for another. So here you'd see that you don't only die for your own sins, you could die for somebody else's sins. So the Gemara answers, hasim shall you be other limchus limichu. When are you stumbling over your brother? When you could have stopped him from sinning and you didn't. Then you're punished. But, relax. Okay? But if you know, there's a very interesting expression. We know that Gemara says, Kulam arevim zeh bazeh.
Yeah, that's that one.
We're all responsible one for another.
Yeah.
Now, how would that be said in Hebrew? One responsible, one man to another. No, arevim zeh lo zeh.
Is it Israeli?
Oh, I don't even know you didn't make the dabber. Grammatically, you should have said Arevim ze lo ze. Responsible one to the next. Baza means in the next. Literally means you're responsible in the next.
Or with the next.
No.
And also Arevim.
So Chassidus explains what does it mean Arevim ze ba ze? And explains also the reason. If you think about it, you sinned, it's my headache.
Yeah.
What am I, you? Why should I suffer because of you? So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't say Kulam Arevim Zeh La Zeh. It says Kulam Arevim Zeh Ba Zeh. What does it mean? Arevim means guarantor, Arev. Guarantor, Arev also means mixture, Ta'aruvis.
So that's what it means.
No. Arevim literally means responsible one for another. Chassidus explains Arevim means mixed. Mm-hmm. Mixed one in another, meaning me and you are really the same thing, we're all mixed. The whole Jewish people is one big cholent. So because you and me are intermingled, I'm not only responsible for you. Arevim Zeh Ba Zeh means all Jews are mixed one with another. In other words, like if your foot hurts, yeah, you have a bad pain in your foot, the head doesn't function. So the question is, because the foot hurts, what does it have to do with the head? Why can't the head function because the foot hurts? Well, the answer is, it's the same body. Correct? It's the same body. It's the head of the foot and the foot of the head. And therefore, a pain in the foot affects the head. So if all the Jews are mixed together, we're one big body. That's why it says Zeh Ba Zeh. Arevim doesn't only mean responsible. Why are we responsible? Because we're mixed, Zeh Ba Zeh. And therefore, all Jews are responsible. Which, by the way, it gives another interesting halacha, by the way. This is the source of a very fundamental halacha. We know in halacha, if I'm not responsible in a mitzvah, I can't do it for you. Mm-hmm. A kid can't read the blow shofar for an adult. Why? Because he's not obligated. You are. Right? So how can he blow shofar, not obligated, for somebody obligated? So now the question is, I already heard shofar. I heard shofar already. So I was yaitza. I'm not obligated anymore. Correct?
Yeah.
How could I blow shofar for you? I already heard kiddush. How can I make kiddush for you? I already heard the Megillah. How can I read the Megillah for you? I already heard the Megillah. I'm not obligated anymore. And if I'm not obligated, how can I do it for somebody who is obligated? Why am I different than a kid? Mm-hmm. So what does halacha explain? Why? It's a fundamental halacha, by the way. Because I am responsible for you to hear the Megillah. I have an obligation. I'm obligated. That what? That you hear the Megillah. So therefore, I'm allowed to read the Megillah for you.
Because of this pasuk?
Right. This is the source. Arevim Zeh Ba Zeh is a multifaceted halacha. Here the Gemara says, one second, but here the Gemara says, a guy sins on the other end of the world, I don't even know who he is, why am I responsible for him? I don't even know who he is. So Gemara says, Yitaka, if you could stop the guy from sinning, and you don't, so then you're responsible for it. Then it's like you sinned also. And that's why the pasuk says, V'kashul ish ba'achiv, they're going to stumble one in the brother. When is that? When you know he's sinning and you have the ability to stop him and you don't.
But we are not supposed to stop people from that. Nowadays, I mean, the tochacha, we are not allowed to do it nowadays.
Who says?
I'm afraid to say it now.
Special
I thought it's a given.
That's not what it says in my Shulchan Aruch.
We are tochacha, we can do it nowadays. I thought everybody says nowadays the halacha lemaaseh that you're not supposed to.
Who says that?
I'm not going
to
say it.
I heard that you have to be of special stature to be such pure and.
No.
And yeah.
You have to.
To be able to.
It's a litvish word, everybody. I mean,
like someone like me.
Musar.
Of course.
No, yeah. I'm serious.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Rabbi, how this.
What are you surprised? I'm not surprised.
How this halacha apply to other costs? Because they, some people they are not they cannot do anything. The
Holocaust is beyond understanding. That you can't know why. Don't why in the Holocaust.
Why not this halacha should apply that? Because
to me, leave do yourself a favor. Leave the Holocaust out. We don't get it. We don't know what it means, and that nothing makes sense.
How about another human being that happened to be a Gentile? Can you, are you obligated to remind him of any of the seven?
Yeah, according to Rambam, you have a biblical obligation to do it.
Somebody's Mechalel Shabbos comes here to shul. What you're telling him, nobody tells him not to come to shul. Or why are you driving?
Everybody says,
please come. I don't understand. It's a, it's a basic thing. If anything, Chabad does it all the time.
No. If you know that
Chabad,
no, that's that way. No. There's two types of hechacha.
Right.
There's hechacha yelling at somebody. You can tell somebody by yelling at him.
Okay.
Or you. I told you the story. I mentioned it many times. It's a remarkable story that the Rabbi Gordon's father from the valley, as the previous Rebbe, when he became a Rav in a shul in Newark, so he wanted to know, there are a lot of people that are not from, and so he says, like, what do I do with admonishing them? How do I, you know, should I scream at them? So the Friedrich Rebbe said like this, there's something called a schwitz, a sauna. I said this many times, a sauna. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Now, in today, Americans, but how do saunas work in the real saunas?
I have the Russian saunas.
Yeah. Okay, that's Russian, no? You don't have American sauna. You have American chocolate. American. So, what do you do? The guy who gets hot, you know, and then there's a bedded. A bedded in Yiddish was the guy in charge of the bathhouse. They would have a whip, actually, and they would whip you on the skin. You know, and then it would open up the pores even more. So the Friedrich Rebbe said like this, when you go to a sauna, and the guy is whipping you, you tell him, give me more, because it feels good, like that. But to come to a guy in the street and whip him, it's terrible. Friedrich Rebbe said, first you bring the person in,
make him hot,
and you warm him up to Yiddishkeit. And then you make him hot to Yiddishkeit. And then you whip him. Because then he could take it. But stam to scream at a guy in the street, whip him. You have to know how to do it. So what's the hechacha? How do you admonish somebody? You bring him in, you warm him up. But there's a goal to get him to stop sinning. Now, if you're going to yell at somebody, like today, you yell at somebody, you're going to turn him off. So then you're not doing hechacha. Hechacha is not a mitzvah just to get it, to scream at somebody. The purpose of admonishing, there's a purpose of it. To get the guy to do what's correct. What's the purpose of admonishing? Stam admonish. The purpose is to get the guy to do what's right. Right? So you have to focus today, based on the time, how to get that done. So first you have to be mekab. But it's all part of the mitzvah teichocha.
Same thing applies with the wife and the kids and things like that. Then.
You know what? You gonna whip him?
No, you have to warm him up before you tell them don't do this thing. Huh?
Yeah.
There's a blanket statement. They say halacha.
Hit him with love.
That's right? The parenting class. Parenting class.
Okay, so now the Gemara asks like this.
Pass my time.
From this pasuk, we learn that parents and sons cannot be witnesses. But how do you know brothers can't be witnesses? Like, where the Gemara is going to say. Ashkechon, Chav Chesem Mer Aleph, 28a1. Ashkechon, Avis Labanim, Obanim Laavis. That we find. Parents for children. But Avis Ta'adadi, for instance, two brothers, meaning testifying one another, or Banim Labanim, how do we know first cousins? Can't. Because the Pasuk only says, and in other words, like this, when something doesn't make sense, it only goes what the Torah says. The Torah says fathers and sons cannot testify. Yeah? Now again, it doesn't make sense. It's exactly a custom. But how do you know brothers and cousins can't? How do you know they can't? So it says, Imken lichtev krolo yumsu aves al ben. It should say, fathers should not disqualify the uncle, but not the cousin. Then it should have said, "Avos al ben." Why does it say "banim"? Hmm. That even banim ladadi, even first cousins and brothers, all of these can't testify. In other words, the fact that the Torah uses the word "banim" when the Torah could have said "ben" it excludes all the witnesses that were that the Mishnah talks about. Okay, so we find cousins. Banim la'alma minolad. How do we know that any other relations can't? How do we know any other relations can't?
Banim la'alma. That means other
other people. Yeah. Amiramisvarahu. It's a logic. It's a logic. What's the logic? Okay, the Tanya, like it says in the Braisa, Eino Edom Zanas and Zemimin, witnesses cannot become Edom Zemimin Ashi Yezumu Shneim. Okay, this is a din like this. Remember we learned Edom Zemimin. No, that was Tuesday night. Edom Zemimin means like this. Two witnesses testify that Reuven killed Shimon Monday morning in L.A. Two other witnesses come and say, how can you two testify that you were the Reuven killed Shimon? You're with us in Hawaii. Remember, that's Edom Zemimin.
Zomim means conspire.
Yeah, but that concept of Zemimin is when you testify that, how could you testify? We don't know if Reuven killed Shimon or not. But how could you testify you guys were with us? So the din is, what happens if there's two witnesses testifying that Reuven killed Shimon Monday morning in L.A.? Yeah? And two other witnesses disqualify only one of the two. They don't disqualify both. They disqualify one of the two. Now, obviously, you don't have testimony anymore because there's only one witness left. But do you do to that witness what he wanted to do or not? You understand? So the Mishnah Braisa says, Eino Edom Nasa Zemimin Ach Yizuma Shnehem. Both have to be. Okay? In other words, obviously, you don't have any witnesses anymore because one was disqualified. But you can't punish that witness until both are punished. Yeah? So he says like this. V'ith al-kadaitach. Bonim la'al-makshedim. If you think that sons could testify for any other relatives, nimsa eid zemim nedek v'eid asochiv. Then it comes out that the zemim witnesses are killed as a result of the testimony of the brother. Meaning, if two brothers, let's say, would be allowed to testify, if two brothers would be allowed to testify, right, and because you need to disqualify both of them, and if one became disqualified, you don't kill them, but it's only when both are disqualified, correct? Mm-hmm. So it comes out, one of those two witnesses are testifying against each other. Jack and Joe. Okay. Jack and Jill. Not Jack and Jill. Jill is a woman. She's not kosher witness anyway. Jack and Joe. Yeah, J and J. Jack and Joe. I testifying that Reuven killed Shimon Monday morning in LA. Yeah? Now, because there's a din, if the two other witnesses disqualify Jack, can you kill Jack? No, because Jack and Joe have to be both disqualified together, right? That means Jack and Joe are the cause of them getting both killed, of killing them both.
Because killing each other.
Killing each other, because if I only disqualify one, nobody gets killed. So why are they getting killed? Because I disqualified both. So both are really testifying against each other. Now, if two brothers can testify, one brother is killing based on the testimony of the next. Not the actual testimony, but the fact that you can't disqualify one without the other.
Why are they testifying against each other? How is Jack?
It's
a
brother.
It's a
brother. Because if Jack and Joe...
Yeah, they're testifying against Reuven.
Yeah, the Reuven killed Shimon.
Right.
Now, forget Reuven a second. Now, if these two guys are proven Edom Zemimin, okay, what do you do to them?
Kill them.
You kill them both.
Yeah.
What happens if only one of the two became proven Edom Zemimin? Do you kill anybody?
No.
No. So it takes two to make that happen.
Yes.
The false testimony of both need to make it happen.
Yeah.
Now, the false testimony of both means they're both testifying against each other. I'm causing you to get killed, you're causing me to get killed. Because if each one is separate, then you don't kill them. So when you're killing both, is because his testimony is valid to make him get killed. The two witnesses that you disqualified, his testimony is making him get killed. So it can't be. So you can't have any relatives, because then you end up killing some based on testimony of a close relative.
So they become Karov now.
Brother. Right. Okay, so Amir Rav disqualifies the proof. He says like this. Let me explain this, the next din coming up, that the Gemara quotes from Baba Basra. There's a din, what's called a chazak of 3 years in a field. That means, if I see a lot, a farm, a house, doesn't matter. And I move in there for 3 years. And nobody protests. After 3 years, the owner comes. He said, what are you doing in my house? It's my house. What are you doing in my house? He said, what are you talking about? You sold it to me. You sold it to me. He said, yeah, where's the document? So the Gemara says, it's a whole third paragraph about Basra Cheskes Abatim. The din is that he has can say, I lost it. Up to 3 years, people keep the documents. After 3 years, the Gemara says, you don't keep documents.
What do you call that, squatter's rights?
Right? I don't know what it's called. I know what it's called, chazok of 3 years. That's what I know. Now, but in order, now what happens if the guy is there for 3 years, the owner comes and says, what are you doing in my house? This is Derech Agah, by the way. And he says, I don't know, I saw an empty house, I moved in. That doesn't count. Mm-hmm. He has to tain it, kol chazok sheini matain. The Gemara says, you need to have a tain, meaning, I need to say, you gave it to me, you sold it to me, epis, that did you, okay. Where's your document? After 3 years, you don't need a document. Now, how do you know a guy was there 3 years?
Witnesses.
You need witnesses that the guy was there for 3 years. So what happens? In fact, there's a whole Gemara. What happens if two witnesses testify you were here in 1975, two witnesses testify you were there in 1976, and two witnesses testify you were there in 1977? Is that called 3 years? Because you don't have witnesses on all 3 years. You have two witnesses, 1 year, two witnesses. Okay, but that's a whole discussion. Now, what happens if three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi brothers, and then you have Yaakov, not a relative. Can Reuven testify with Yaakov on the first year? Can Shimon testify with Yaakov on the second year? Can Levi testify with Yaakov on the third year? Because each one, Reuven with Yaakov are not related, Shimon with Yaakov are not related, Levi with Yaakov are not related. Okay. Now obviously, if Reuven and Shimon together as brothers testify on the 3 years, it's not a kosher testimony because they're brothers.
The single witness.
1 minute. If Reuven and Shimon both testify that the guy was there for 3 years, it's of course no good. Mm-hmm. Because they're brothers. They can't testify. They're not kosher witnesses. But here you have three brothers, but basically what's going on like this. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, any way you want to look at it, are testifying under 3 years.
Right. The bottom line is, that's the bottom line.
Without Shimon and Levi, the testimony is not going to be valid. Right? So Reuven's testifying with Yaakov. Shimon's testifying with Yaakov. Levi testifying with Yaakov.
So we want to know if that's, counts, we
want to
know if that's a valid testimony.
So it says, in the Mishnah like this, Shloisha Achim Vechem Mitztazimim. Three brothers testified, each one to a different year. Like I said, Reuven with Yaakov testify 77, Reuven and Shimon and Yaakov testify 78 and 79 and so on.
It's not monetary?
It is.
So why the relation is kosher?
No, it's not. No, brothers can never testify nothing.
In the monetary also?
Also not. If Reuven and Shimon both sign a loan agreement, yeah, witnesses, yeah, we're not. It's not a valid document. Brothers cannot testify, period. Monetary, not monetary. They can't. I said, as a judge, they could sit if both sides agree, but not witnesses. What?
If you have a person who owned the property, has the deed to the property, and he's away for 3 years, he went wherever he went. He comes back, he has a deed of his property. The other guy has, what does he have? He has ear, basically. Oh, I lost it. I did this.
That's the whole Cheskes Habatim. The Gemara says that the guy should have protested.
But he wasn't in town.
So the Gemara says, if there's Edom, then everybody knows about it. The Yanta circle. Chavercha, chavercha, islay. The Gemara says, each friend tells another friend, tells another friend, tells another.
The owner
should have protested because he would have heard that they were in the field.
But he was overseas. Right?
It doesn't matter. The Gemara says, even then they heard it.
So he can have a deed.
But again, if the guy, if the guy says, you sold it to me.
Right. Yeah, so why would the owner have the deed still then?
He had a, whatever, he had a deed. Doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't mean... If I have a deed and I give you a document that I sold you the land, you know what's done today? Behind the scenes because for tax purposes and all that shtick.
Well, that's the consequences if a person wants to do that. It gets, you know, it can get...
Yeah, that okay, but...
That's his business, but it doesn't...
Okay, anyway, let's just finish this point over here. So it says, so you have three brothers and one stranger, but money you can't testify all three brothers not. So Reuven does with Yaakov the first year, Shimon does with Yaakov the second year, Levi does with Yaakov the third year. So it says good. Now, what happens if you want to do hazama on these witnesses? You want to disqualify the witnesses. So the din is, this becomes one group of four witnesses, and you have to do hazama on all four of them. Remember we just learned before in the Gemara that in order to disqualify Hazama, you need to disqualify both. So what happens if you have four witnesses? Hazama means you disqualify all of them. Okay, this is what the Mishnah says over there, yeah? So Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, three brothers, each one testifying 1 year with Yaakov and the Chazaka, and it's good. And then the Mishnah says, but Behein Eidus Achaz Hazama. Okay?
Not to get them killed,
this is supposed to.
Can you cancel one?
You talk about the property.
You have four
witnesses.
You do hazama and just one of them.
You have to mazum all of them.
To kill them, but just to puzzle the edus.
But you
still
got three kosher left.
But once you puzzle a piece of it, the whole thing should crumble.
It doesn't always work like that. It could.
So in this case, for instance,
by relatives. We know Eidus Shebatal Miksasa Batal Kula. Okay. But we'll see if it works by disqualifying one that he's, let's say, not a relative, but he's a Ganef. Does that also disqualify everybody? We'll see.
If you pursue one before, 1 year is not good anymore.
Right. The question is, do you punish them what they wanted to do? In other words, not killing, in monetary.
Okay.
If two witnesses testify, let's get the monetary straight of Edom Zayman. Two witnesses testify that Reuven lent Shimon $1,000 Monday morning in LA. Okay? So they say that Reuven lent Shimon $1,000. So Shimon owes $1,000. Yeah? That's what they're testifying. Then they become Edom Zayman. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, what did they want to do? Make Shimon pay $1,000 when he didn't have to. Because it's not true. Correct? So they need to pay $1,000. Now, do they need to pay $1,000 each, or between the two of them $1,000? So the Gemara says, Makis, Mishal Shalim B'mamin, they Mishal Shalim B'makis. In money, they can... Each one pays half because together they wanted to make him pay $1,000. But let's say Adam Zayman also get whipped because they said false testimony. So you don't say each one gets half Malkus. Each one gets 39. Okay, to be continued.